Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I am your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is 2:08. Alhamdulillah. Well, today, inshallah, we will be introducing the female missile with Sister Zakira and Sarmia. This will now be our regular feature on Family Health Matters every Wednesday afternoon at this time. And inshallah, we will be crossing over to KwaZulu-Natal in a moment. Just very briefly, before we do that, I would just like to tell you what you can look forward to this afternoon. I'm going to be talking to Dr. Hajra Awet for a few minutes immediately after Missile Desk or Female Missile. And we're going to be talking about the kinesiology workshop that's going to be taking place on one of these days. And she's going to give us more information with regards to that, inshallah. So that will take place immediately after Female Missile. And then, of course, it's the growing child, inshallah. And that's with my guest, Sister Fatima, nursing sister, Sister Fatima Dawood. We haven't had a program for a while, alhamdulillah, but she's back with me in the studio, and we will be talking about the topic we two chose. Okay, I'll tell you more about it. Reasons behind your child's tears. That's what we're talking about on the growing child. But for now, let's cross over to Sister Zakira Ansarmia from KwaZulu-Natal. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zakira. How are you this afternoon?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Abba Zeenat, I'm well, alhamdulillah. And, you know, Abba Zeenat, it brings back many fond memories listening to you like this. I remember sitting in the studio with yourself and Sister Fatima many years ago when we, you know, when I just started radio. Mm-hmm. And, subhanAllah, sitting at the side of the airwaves this time around feels a little bit odd, but khair.
Okay, so just imagine that you are with us right now in the studio. It would be nice. But anyway, I'd like to welcome you on my program now, so it will be wonderful talking to you every week at this time. So tell us more about female missile.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, so Abba Zeenat, I think this this feature rather was something that we used to have running every Friday. I used to do an entire program of female missile with the sisters, and alhamdulillah, because things expand and now we have a lovely political program on a Friday, this kind of went by the side. But with Ramadan and with having given female missile a special time once again on the airwaves, we found the need for this. And because many of the sisters called in inquiring why this program doesn't run continually throughout the year, alhamdulillah, we once again listened to our listeners and brought it right back. A much shorter slot, but nevertheless, whatever your female missile queries are, you could send them through throughout the week, and inshallah, I will share them with you on this slot here in Abba Zeenat's program. Basically, how it will work is that we will have a continuous discussion week on week. So it may take a month, it may take a month and a half to cover one topic, but the discussion will be continuous. So we may only manage to cover one or two masail on that topic every week, but be sure to stay tuned each week to learn more about that topic with regards issues that plague the minds of females, whether it is tahara, whether it is about salah, whether it is about like the upcoming season of Hajj and Qurbani. Inshallah, we will be discussing all of that and much more right here. Today, to start off the program, I thought we'd start it off and we'd take it nice and easy. Being still like 2 weeks left for the month of July to end, I thought we'd do Tahara. And then inshallah, once the month of August comes by, we'll specifically speak about Qurbani and Hajj, being the Mawasim then. Yes, we do know that it is Dhul Qa'da already. But I thought perhaps a nice way to start off the program would be a recap of our Tahara Masail. Because I think every female, every sister normally has these queries month after month with regards to discharging, etc. So let's go through that today then, inshallah. With regards to istinja, we must remember that as a female, besides doing the istinja from the usual urine and stool, when a sister does experience discharging and certain colored discharging and a certain type and consistency of discharging, then too there is istinja that is necessary from this type of discharging. So what am I speaking about? Well, in discharges we get various colors and consistencies. There's the clear discharge that's almost watery-like, and this is normally experienced any time of the month. This type of discharging is not necessarily one that breaks the wudu, according to some of the muftis here in South Africa. When we look at this type of discharge, it's a type that the body gives off throughout the month. So it's not necessarily the type of discharge that we all know just before that time of the month, before your haid comes on about a week or so, or 10 days before that, you get a type of thick, creamy, sometimes it goes brown, this type of discharge. No, we're not speaking about that. We're speaking about like if it's a really hot day and you do have a liner on and you tend to notice some sort of moisture on the liner. Sometimes when this discharge dries up, it gives a sort of like a creamy color. So this is what we're speaking about. And remember I said when it dries up, it leaves a color. If the discharge is wet and it is cream or it is yellow in color, then this discharge is najis and there will need to be a fresh wudu and istinja will be made from this. When the discharge is clear, that is when there is no istinja that is required from this discharge. So, yeah, that's with regards to discharging. So we have that type of discharge, and then we have the creamy discharge and the more milkier white-colored discharge. Or even it could go to, like, mustard. And this could just be normal. A person may have some sort of, infection or the other, and this could happen. For this reason, we are clarifying the rulings with regards to different colors, and I'm going so much into detail because sometimes it can become a little bit tricky, and a female can actually become quite confused and perplexed because you don't know anymore whether you still have wudu or not. So when the discharge is colored, know that as soon as there is some color in it, then automatically the wudu will break and you will have to make a istinja. Before even making wudu, you will have to make istinja. And obviously then there's a changing of the liner or the underwear. Just one last ruling with regards to this. Some sisters continually have discharging. Now for the sisters who continuously have discharging, then for this sister here, like the sister who has a flatulence problem, or like the sister who has a urine, drips of urine problem, so she has incontinence, then these people are considered ma'zoor. So the sister who has the continuous discharging problem, she will also be considered ma'zoor or ma'zoora. And what we will do then is that at the beginning of every salah time, she will make an istinja, a fresh wudu, change the sanitary liner or the underwear, and then for that entire salah time, it will be considered as though she has wudu and she will not have to make a fresh wudu until the entry of the next salah time. So that is how that will work with regards continuous discharging. Some people have this problem. It's just, perhaps a hormone imbalance, or in some younger girls it may also be because, they're just a little bit weak and so therefore they continuously get this discharging. With pregnant women, sometimes in the early months of pregnancy you will get continuous discharging. So for all these reasons, do remember that there is a ruling with regards to that, and the ruling is that this person will be considered ma'zoora, and she will not have to make a fresh wudu every time she feels discharging or she notices the discharging, but rather one wudu will suffice for the entire duration of that salah time, and at the entry of the new salah time, or at the end of that salah time rather, her wudu will automatically break. So that's the end for today's Female Masail segment. If you have any queries or questions, you could send them through to 061-406-2688, or you could simply email them through to za@radioislamlive.com. Jazakallah khair once again, Apa Zinat, and from me, Zakira and Sarmia, until we meet again next week, same place, same time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair, Sister Zakira, for that very interesting talk. Alhamdulillah. So we look forward to talking to you next week again, inshallah. And remember, please, if you have any questions, please email it to Sister Zakira's email address. She did share it with you. I don't have it with me right now, but you can call us at the radio station and then we will give it to you, inshallah. Jazakallah khair once again. We take a short break and okay, we do have our guest online, so we'll now be talking to Dr. Hajra Abed for a few minutes. It's all about the kinesiology workshop that's taking place. It's on leaky gut. Now, if you remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had Sister Shahida Esop as well as Dr. Hajra Abed. Both of them are energy medicine specialists. I hope I've got that right. And they were here and we spoke about leaky gut syndrome. They did mention that there was going to be a workshop taking place, but alhamdulillah, they were not sure of the venue, but now, alhamdulillah, it's confirmed. The venue is confirmed, and she's going to tell us more about that. We have her online. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Hajra. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Zinat, for inviting me.
It's wonderful. I wanted you to tell us more about this workshop. But before we do that, I know we spoke about kinesiology last time. We spoke about leaky gut syndrome. But just for the benefit of our listeners that don't know, that may not have heard the program, and for those that don't really know much about it, can you just very briefly tell us what is kinesiology and a little bit about its benefits?
Okay, well, kinesiology is actually quite a wide term. It means the science of movement. So like in different kind of modalities of kinesiology, you have education kinesiology, you have professional kinesiology, you have energy kinesiology. So it's like got many different sub-modalities. Mm-hmm. But for our purposes, what I'll be teaching is a branch of applied kinesiology, which is just a basic muscle test. And, just like how a polygraph machine works, a lie detector test, mm-hmm. you need to strap you to that machine, and if you tell a lie, then it shows stress on the machine because the brain will experience the stress. And when the brain experiences stress, a muscle goes weak. So that's why people say, sit down, I got bad news. Because mm-hmm. bad news is stress, and it'll make the muscles go weak. So with this applied kinesiology, people will learn how to muscle test, because your body is storing all the memory of everything that's ever happened to you, and everything that's good for you, everything that's bad for you, everything, all the information is stored within you. So it's like you're a big computer, a super computer, and this kinesiology is muscle testing is used to access information from the supercomputer. So it's like a wonderful tool. And you can only get yes-no answers. Like, just say if I've got an ulcer, then I can ask and then test with a muscle, is the ulcer related to my physical body? Is it related to my emotional body? Or is it related to my mental body, So I get information. That's how I actually work, even with patients. Mm-hmm. I get information from where, what body is causing the actual problem. And then working with whatever that body needs to help with, So I think it's such a valuable tool, and it should be even taught at schools, because then, children already can find and clear whatever sources of stress they have. And today they have so much of stress, there's so much of fear and anger and panic. And so if they can, that's in the emotional kind, mm-hmm. healing workshop. The one we're talking about today is really about food and supplement testing, because mm-hmm. To test for food allergies and for food sensitivities, especially when food sensitivities is now linked to the leaky gut, and the leaky gut is linked to a whole lot of diseases, and even autism, and also the the leaky gut is it can be totally prevented or even reversed by stopping the foods that your body is sensitive to. So I hope I've explained that.
Okay,
sufficiently.
Yeah. But again, just when we talk about a leaky gut, what does this exactly mean?
Okay, exactly what it says. It's like your gut is leaking. when you're eating food, like if you're eating a food that you're allergic to, you'll know immediately, right? Because you'll have skin rashes or hives, and your throat will swell. But if you're eating food that you are sensitive to, then you may not even know it. It'll give you quite a few symptoms like bloating and constipation and, or tiredness and quite a few symptoms and signs. But the thing is, you may not even know you have a sensitivity. But if you continue eating these foods, then it's like poisoning your body. And so what happens is that then these larger food particles will almost puncture holes in your intestinal wall. And so bigger particles get absorbed into the bloodstream. It becomes a major, major strain on your immune system. Because your immune system is there to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it there for us to protect us, to regenerate our bodies, to fight bacteria, to fight cancer cells. It does a whole lot of things. But the immune system is so busy dealing with whatever, food poisons or poisons that we're putting into the system, that it's not really doing its job of protecting us. And that's why we're getting sicker and sicker, as a nation, as a society. Even kids are getting so much sicker now. And this leaky gut, like I said, it's from eating food that the body is sensitive to, and among other things. But it's really just causing a big strain on the immune system, which is now linked to a whole lot of illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And also it says that the leading health experts today say that at least even more than 80% of people have got leaky guts, So I think it's very important to be able to muscle test and to find out what food you are sensitive to, so you can stop eating those foods and start reversing whatever health challenges you have. And also, it's lovely. I mean, it's such a powerful tool. Since I use it, I became a kinesiologist in about 25 years ago,
Mm-hmm.
And I just went from one workshop to the other, to the other, to the other, because I found it so fascinating, this whole concept of being able to communicate with your body's inner intelligence and finding out what to do to reverse your condition or to delete an emotion or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that, people are ready to start learning, it's a very exciting journey.
Mm-hmm.
The journey of healing is such an exciting journey. And it's a journey, it's never a destination. It's always just growing more and more and more. And the more you can access your inner wisdom, the more you can clear out the garbage, the beliefs that do no longer serve us. And, a lot of these beliefs and things are programmed into us by 8, 7. So we're all running the programming of a 7-year-old kid. And, in our lives don't work, obviously it won't work.
Yeah.
It's very good to be able to start clearing away the garbage. And to me, this is like a jihad of the nafs, It's clearing away my emotions, my weaknesses for specific foods, my whatever,
Yeah.
My negative thinking or whatever. So I think kinesiology is a very powerful tool to have.
Okay. So what is the real goal or the whole benefit of this whole workshop?
Oh, well, once you learn how to muscle test, you can test for foods, of course, that enhance your health or foods that deplete your health. So you can make more intelligent choices with what you eat. And you can also test for supplements that, to balance the body. We regard illness as the body being out of balance. And certain supplements are necessary, to bring the body back into balance. And you can also be able to test yourself and your family for allergies and sensitivities. You can start reversing, the symptoms that are causing you a whole lot of grief. Because when we have poisons and inflammation going around the body, because, it starts in the gut and spreads throughout the body. So you have your arthritic pains, even if the inflammation's in your joints, you've got arthritis. So it'll start reversing the pains and aches in the body, which is all the result of inflammation. So you'll be starting to decrease the inflammation. And also, I must give your listeners a very nice tip. One of the best anti-inflammatories is turmeric, is arad. And if inflammation is causing your illnesses, then Mm-hmm. Other would be like the cure for just about all illnesses, mm-hmm. because it's tackling the inflammation. So the different illnesses are just because the inflammation is in different parts of your body. But if it's in your muscles, it's myositis. If it's in your bones, it's osteitis. Or you know, if it's in your joints, it's arthritis. And so everything that's ending with an I-T-I-S is inflammation. So we need to learn how to eat the foods that, you know, that don't cause inflammation. And we need to stop eating the foods that do.
Okay.
So then you'll have better health, more energy, you know, less chances of getting sick. You know, you'll start feeling a sense of joy, because if you're eating the wrong foods, even your mental, emotional level is affected, you know.
Definitely, and that's what we're all looking for, you know, energy, health, and of course to be happy at all times.
And joy, yeah.
Okay, so who'll be conducting the workshop, and who can attend this workshop?
Well, anyone can attend it, as mm-hmm. long as you can understand English, you'll know how to do, you'll understand it. And, I mean, this is, we're having it at the Libra. We looked at quite a few venues the day we came to your radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Esop and I both looked around at quite a few venues. But they were very big halls, and we like to work with a smaller group, especially when you're teaching a skill, because this isn't just a talk, this is you're going to be taught a skill, which is the muscle testing, and so you want to work with smaller groups to make sure that everybody goes home with the tools. And so we're having that Libra Primary School, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if you've got the flyer on your...
Yes, I've got it with me. If you just give me, yeah. It's at Libra Primary School. I've got
right.
the address here. It's 7384 Cabillo Avenue, or Cabillo Avenue. And
in the library,
yeah.
It's a lovely setting.
Is it?
To teach, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's in Extension 8 here in Indonesia.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And then also, so anyone can attend, even children. In fact, I may be having separate workshops for children, because children really have got such a lot of emotions. And once they learn how to start deleting these emotions, you know, we're not going to have children that have got a lot of behavioral problems and depression and ADD and drugs, and you know, because you know, our community is facing really big challenges, you know, because there's such a lot of negativity around, and we need to really start working on another level to start taking back our power and our strength, and inshallah, you know, create a better community and a better society by clearing our garbage, because whatever is out there is really what's in here. So we really need to, I mean, I've been clearing out my garbage for 25 years, and let me tell you, you know, it's unending. So it's really just about clearing away our own negative emotions and feelings of fear or anger or insecurity or lack of love or loneliness, whatever, you know. I think I must have had the whole bundle, you know. And you've got to clear it to get into the higher state of joy and peace and love and all of those nicer feelings, you know. Like I said, that's the emotional healing. I'm preparing the manual for that one. That's why I'm more focused on that one right now. Okay. But the food and supplement testing one is lovely, and you'll really go with the very powerful skills. And like I said, your health, your joy, your happiness, everything will start improving, inshallah, you know, the day you take responsibility for your health and your happiness. Because you see that we all look out there for someone to make us happy. You know, if my kids are good, I'll be happy. If my husband's good, I'll be happy. And we're all looking out there for someone and something to make us happy. And the reality is, it's going to come from within. And it is already there. It is about clearing away all the garbage that's blocking it from shining, you know?
Mm.
It's about getting, it's time to shine.
Okay. So basically, it's going to be a very interesting workshop, inshallah. And will Sister Shahida Esop also be part of the group?
Yes, yes, indeed she will, yes.
Okay. So it's the two of you. And then just very quickly, do you have to actually book a space? And
Yeah. Unfortunately, because we don't have, you know, we don't have huge crowds to come for these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I wouldn't want more than like 15 to 20 people. So, yeah, people have to book.
Okay.
And so if they send an email, I think it's the two doctors, two as in the number two, not the word. So is thetwodoctors.sa@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then send an email to say you're interested in the course or whatever, and then we'll forward you with whatever you need to know.
Okay.
It's really very nice. It's really exciting. It's a fun workshop. You know,
okay.
It's fun and relaxing. And
okay. And, you know, I hate to have to ask you this, but it is important. The cost of the workshop?
The cost is 1,000 rand for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you book before the 23rd of July, then mm-hmm. it's an early bird special. And then it's 800 rand.
That's the 23rd of July?
Yeah.
Okay.
We taught it in Pretoria. And I must say, most of the people did take, you know, advantage of the early bird special. And that really is very good value for money.
Okay. And what time does it start in the morning?
It starts at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And from 9 to 9.30 is registration.
Right.
And then it will be, you know, we'll carry on until about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then there'll be a tea break in between. And we provide refreshments. And you know, we ask people to bring their own lunch along. And, yeah. It's a nice setting. The school is really quite appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like a little garden, and it looks really nice, really.
Okay.
So I think it'll be quite a nice get-together.
Inshallah.
A nice meeting, inshallah. I'm hoping to see you there, Zenith.
Inshallah. Okay. So this is going to be, this will all happen at the Libera Primary School. It's at 7384 Kabeljau Avenue, Extension 8 here in Indonesia. And it's taking place on the 28th of July, 2018, from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But from 9 to 9.30 will be registration.
Yeah.
Of course, if you need to obviously book your space, so please, this is the email address. It's the2doctors, that's the number 2doctors. .sa@gmail.com. I see there is a cell number here. Can I maybe share that with the listeners as well?
Yes, certainly.
It's 060-464-5361. 060-464-5361. So if anybody is interested, please do contact them, and I think it will be very, very interesting. And you actually would be able to do muscle testing on yourself or you know, be able to do it.
Yes, and also
at the end of it, of course.
Yeah, and you can go to the supermarket and actually start testing what things you should buy.
Really?
And you'll find you save such a lot of money, because half the things is not good for you that's on supermarket
mm-hmm.
shelves. So you tend to save quite a lot of money. For instance, you know,
okay.
if you test on chocolate, it'll probably go weak. If you test on
anyway.
Biscuits, it'll probably go weak. So
okay.
your shopping basket will be less full.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Hajira.
Thank you very much,
it's
lovely hearing you and talking with you again.
Okay. Jazakallah
khair. And I hope your listeners and take on the tip of drinking arid, you know, and just boil, put a teaspoon, half a teaspoon in some hot water and some freshly ground black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And just drink it every morning.
Inshallah.
It's really such a wonderful remedy.
Okay.
Just about everything.
Okay.
It will help you along, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much.
Thank you
and
so much.
And we do wish you all the best, inshallah, and we hope it's a success, inshallah. So
welcome,
we hope to see
you
there.
Thank you so much. Eh?
Okay. Thank you so much. Well, listeners, that's it then. When we return, inshallah, it's The Growing Child, and we'll be speaking to Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Family Health Program. I'm Sister Zenith, and joining me on this particular slot called The Growing Child, we're speaking to Sister Fatima Dawood, I'm a community nursing sister. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fatima. Jazakallah khair for joining me this afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam. Nice being back.
Yeah, it's been a while because
we didn't have
programs the whole of Ramadan.
Yes.
And then I believe you had a wedding in the family. So
double wedding.
Yes, so I didn't trouble you. Okay, but it's lovely to have you back again, inshallah.
Nice being back.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to continue with our program. You know, we've been talking about this for a while now. You know, the reasons behind our child's tears. Now, it's normal for children to shed tears, and it's also normal for a person to be frustrated by a child who cries often. And I think sometimes, you know, when you have a child that continuously cries, it can really frustrate the parents. That's particularly true when you can't quite figure out why your little one is crying. Now, before the child learns how to talk, it can be quite tricky to figure out why your child is crying. Even when kids do begin to verbalize, the reason a kid is crying might not be rational. If you've ever had a child cry because maybe, you know, the microwave at her lunch, or throw a temper tantrum because you told her she can't eat maybe, you know, cat food for that matter, then you're not alone. Kids come up with some interesting reasons to cry, but keep in mind that crying can be healthy at any age. In fact, a 2011 study published in the Journal of Research and Personality found that there are many circumstances when crying helps people feel better. It works for me. You know, if I really feel, you know, I need to do things and I'm feeling down, a good cry sometimes do make you feel better. Researchers discovered people feel better after crying if they have emotional support. If crying leads to a resolution or, you know, better understanding, or if they're crying due to a positive event, your goal doesn't always need to be to get your child to stop. I think that is what we need to understand, that you don't always need to get your child to stop crying. Shedding a few tears may be very good for kids, but before you can decide how to best respond, it's important to ask yourself, why is my child crying? To get to the bottom of it. Now, we've been talking about a few of the reasons over the past few weeks that when we started this program, and I just want to go through some of those, you know, the points that we mentioned, is that your child will cry if they're overtired. Your child will perhaps cry when they're hungry. A child will cry when they're overstimulated, and we spoke about that in quite, you know, quite a bit about that. Today we're going to look at another reason, one or two other reasons, and the one that we're starting off with, that your child is stressed. So, Sister Fatima, let's start for our program today. You know, what I want to know is, they talk about stress. We know of adults being stressed, but can children actually get stressed out and then cry all the time?
Remember, I suppose we all must remember something, that the children are little human beings. They've got feelings, they know what they want, they've got needs, that has to be, given to them. Everything that the adult suffers from, the children suffer from the same thing, but in minor forms. And remember something, children are more sensitive than adults are. We, as adults, we can overcome our problems. We can look at an outing. We can look at a way out or something. Mm-hmm. Children can't do that. So they learn as they grow up. That's why we go to schools, to learn fast these things. We're learning this all the time. Programs like the one you mentioned now, stress programs. These are things that teach you how to control it, how to handle yourself. Children can't do that. They are too small. They learn from their parents.
But they can get stressed.
And with the parents now, remember, we've got a lot of stress nowadays. It's not like before, where the wife is at home, the mother. They get married and they're very happy because mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, everybody live together. Then the children come and they join in this happy big family. And it was a healthy life. There was no particular need in that family because everybody shared. They could talk to each other if they needed something. They could talk to each other if they had a problem. They could talk to each other if something is troubling you. And the child as well. And sometimes with our children, remember, when they had extended families, they could go to a person that they felt comfortable with. But today it's only mother and father. And if mother and father are quabbling all the time, who do they go to? There's nobody else to go to, because the granny is living on her own, the aunties are living on their own, families are on their own, cousins are on their own. There's no more that bonding or that close family knit that was before, where you could find, you know, you could find your answers. If you needed anything, you could go to one of them that is going to help you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think also another thing is that, you know, the responsibility of parenting your child was not only on the parents.
On the parents, yeah.
It wasn't like a burden on these two people only. You know, they had grandparents to help out.
It was a shared thing.
You had aunties to help out. You had you know, uncles to help out, even if they were married, if they were not married, you know, you always had somebody else to shift your little bit of extra, you know, if things became a little bit too much, you always had somebody else to help you take over or take some of that stress and help you out with it. So it made it so much easier for everybody around.
Now, you see, Jeanette, when we moved out of our comfort zones, where we come from, whether it be Newlands, Vitas, Forsberg, Sophiatown, you hear so much about Sophiatown. And when I hear Sophiatown, I always think back, and it gives me such memories of what we went through there. With the apartheid time, we went through it. We were in it. And it makes you think. And our children today don't understand what we're talking about, because they haven't been to it and they don't know what we're talking about. Yet we've been in it and we know how to handle it. So these are the things that are important in life. It's a sharing, and the extended families have broken up completely. Not even two brothers can live together with two wives. So you want a nuclear family because you feel you want to be independent. You want to do what you want to do. You want to do what you want to do at your time. You want to go where you want to. Nobody to tell you what to do. You don't have to answer to anybody.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one. Yeah. You don't have to report to anybody.
You don't have to report to anybody. You answer. You come back late at night. It's not a problem. You go to sleep. You don't eat. You don't cook. It's not a problem. Before, when you walk into the house, the first thing you say is breakfast, lunch and supper. Breakfast, okay, everything goes, but lunch, what are we cooking for lunch now? And who's going to cook? Which daughter-in-law is cooking lunch and which one is cooking supper? And this is how we used to share.
I know, yeah.
And that was an extended thing. Mm-hmm. And the children, when they come home, they look for the comfort zone. So maybe the big daughter-in-law is a comfort zone, so they go to her. They won't come to the mother. But this was a sharing thing the children grew up with, and they learned to share.
And love.
And they learn to love, and they learn to
care,
and they learn to handle problems. Because they know that this is what you do, and this is how you do it, and this is where you go to.
And what was so great is, like, you know, you always had somebody that would be able to advise you. If you couldn't get along with one person, there was always another one that would be able.
Yeah.
There's always one uncle or one auntie or one cousin that would be, you know, your best friend that would be helping you out with a certain situation that you are in. You know, discuss it with you, talk to you, and make you feel better. But, you know, let's just coming back to our program, really. We're going a bit off here. But it's,
you know, it's so linked, isn't it, that you don't, you can't help, you know, drifting from what you want to say, because it's all linked together. Mm-hmm. It's all this bonding thing that is so important in a family.
Yeah, they also talk about, you know, the reason why some of our why our children become so stressed nowadays. It's because of what's going around us these days. And they talk about things like parents, marriages, if the marriages of parents, now, like you said, it's so linked. Even if in those days, if a divorce was going to take place, you knew that there were other people around you in the family that would be helping out with the kids. No matter how difficult a situation it was, there were others that still would give the children the love and affection that they needed. Parents, grandparents especially, would step in immediately. If there was a problem in the family, it would be grandparents taking over the kids, just to make sure that kids were okay. The kids must be all right.
And so the first thing would be is to avoid the separation.
Yeah.
The first thing it would be either the granny, the grandfather, but there were grand uncles and grand aunties and great grand uncles that were always there to help and to assist. So it wasn't something that this is going to happen now and it between these two people and it's going to happen and finish in class. That never happened like that. It was always how to handle it, how to bring it together. How to, for the sake of the children, hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
Help them.
And they would make sure that the children were at, you know, not stressed out in the least. That it wasn't the children's problem.
It wasn't the children's problem.
Children would
have,
you know, we are there for you. We will take care of you no matter what happens there. Then another thing is nowadays, children, you know, the stress can be caused as a result of children moving from one school to the other school. And about all the things happening in school. You know, there's so much happening in these schools. Bullying is one of the things that is happening. And it really stresses children out, because sometimes they don't know how to talk to somebody or don't know how to tell somebody about it.
This is where the parents come in. You know, we always feel that when our children go to school, we give the problem over to the teachers, give the problem over to the Mulana. Because whenever there's a problem that you know about it, let's phone Mulana and ask him for advice. Because we know he's going to give us advice. But the time, what we should think about is, how can we handle it? How can we as parents handle it? How, where do we fit in when this child has got a problem? It can be a problem in school, it can be a problem anywhere outside, but we must be able to handle it first. And before it was where we could, pass on the buck, but now we have to take the reins. We must learn. That's why it's so important for parents to know, to learn, to read. Read about these things and you see that this thing comes in everybody's life. Once there will be a time where you are going to need to hold the reins for your child and to advise your child properly and know where to refer to and how to refer to and what to do at the time of problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, another reason also could be, the events taking place. Just watching the news, happening in the world, things that are happening in the world, if we look at all the wars and everything that is happening around the whole world, it is so distraughting.
Did you notice something? I just thought of it now. Before, when you hear a bullet, a bang, a gun, you run out because you're inquisitive to know where it came from, what's happening, how it's happening, maybe something happening, and it's all excitement, and the neighbors get together and we stood around and do that. Nowadays, the car can knock somebody in front of your door and nobody goes out. Well, there can be gunshots everywhere and nobody could be bothered.
Yes, and I can relate to that, We have so many accidents happening right in front of our doors.
Yes.
That we don't even hear it anymore.
You don't notice it.
Yeah,
you
hear the screeching and the brakes and the bang and, that's another accident.
And the funny thing, when I visited you the other day, the problem was that the squatters were, the electric problem, electricity problem.
Yes.
Then there was a water problem. And something happened at home where the water was cut. I said, it must be happening at Dina's place. There were squatters interfering with the water again. Now this is what we are like now.
Mm.
Not going to find out what's happening. Maybe there's a leak in your tap there, or maybe something broke. But we so fixed with ideas that this is going to happen, and this is what's happening, and we accept it.
Yeah, but there's so many events taking place in our lives these days. Now, as adults, we can handle all these things because, like you said, we just overlook these things. But children, little ones, for them it's scary. We may not realize it. After a while it may be when they grow a little bigger. But when they're so small, it's scary. And those things, they can't tell you these things are scaring us. So they end up crying.
But before, homework used to be done by the family. Either the mother, the father, or the uncles will sit with your child and say, what did you do today? And the child comes out. You know what happened in class today? This child was crying because this happened and that happened. But you don't hear it anymore. Children don't take notice of... There's no that sensitivity of the next person being hurt or the next child did something. Maybe we can help. Maybe, Ma, this child needed a pair of shoes. What we used to do is to actually take shoes, collect it from the family, and then send it to the school for the child to wear. Do you remember those days?
Mm.
Nowadays, people couldn't be bothered. The children couldn't be bothered. You can come with no jersey, ice cold. The children, it's just part of life. Mm. What I'm trying to say is, even insensitively in the schools now, you don't have it like before. Where children just be so alert when their friends didn't have a lunch, then they tell the mother, put another slice of bread. My friend next door didn't have bread for lunch today. Then you make it and you give it to the child so that they can share. That sensitivity is gone now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, it may be gone now, but these could be some of the reasons children are stressed out. They may not be showing it. They may not be showing emotionally, but it's emotionally rather, it is affecting them. And especially little ones, because they cannot tell us what the problem is.
But, Zinat, another thing is, when we used to come home from school, I remember when we were young, what did the mother say? What did you do in school today? what happened, what did you learn, what did the teacher say, did anything happen, and you sort and talk to your mother. And these are the things that used to actually relieve the stress of children, because they could share it with their parents. Nowadays there's no such thing, you come, you put your book down and it's gone.
So yeah, all of these things.
So these are the important things, is to re-interact with your child.
It's so important.
When the child comes home, interact with them from the gate. We used to wait for our children at the gate, so when they come in, you're talking to them as they're coming in. So you're hearing the schoolwork, you're hearing what's happening, you hear all those things, and you know how to handle it.
Mm. So basically, I would say, we almost come to the end of the program, but what I would say with regards, making sure that your children are not stressed out is, things like the things that affect them from outside, all these outside whatever things they watch on TV, we need to be able to curb all that. Make sure that you know what your children are watching so that it doesn't affect them.
But how does that happen?
Well, stop it. You
talk to them. To your children. Mm-hmm. You must talk to your children. You must interact with your child. Mm-hmm. You must interact with them for madrasa, for school, for varsity, for anything. Interact with your children. You must interact with them. It's the only way you can know any problem in your child's life is when you're talking to them. When you interact with them with a friendly manner, by screaming and shouting and you're stupid, you understand things, the child will never come to you. But if you react with them in a nice manner, what did you do in school today? What happened? What did the teacher say? What did your friends do? This is a time when your children talk, and then you know exactly what to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And
yeah,
these
okay.
are the important things of school children.
Alhamdulillah. Well, they say younger children who are stressed out will need your help to change the environment. Reducing the stressful circumstances can help them manage their emotions better.
Yes.
And then older children can benefit from learning skills to manage their stress. From deep breathing exercises, meditation, to exercise and leisure activities, healthy stress reduction activities will help your child gain better control over her emotions. But I think what is so important, and I think, Aunt Fatima, you mentioned it so many times, you stressed on it, is being able to communicate with your
child.
So the moment, a child must be able to tell you,
to be
Mom,
free.
This
be
is
free.
Wrong. Yeah,
yeah,
they must feel.
They must be free to feel that they can say anything, talk any subject, and the mother will be there to listen to them.
Yeah,
it's just
definitely.
A listening ear, that's all you need.
Well, Jazakallah khair, Sister Fatima. We've come to the end of our program. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.